This is the Bridge of the Faithful podcast, featuring your host, Jenna Erlandson.
Hey guys, and welcome to the Bridge of the Faithful podcast. I'm Jenna, and we are all traveling this faithful bridge together. These episodes are just my documentation as I search to understand what faithfulness really means. You can find this and all other episodes at www.botfpodcast.com. You can also connect with me at facebook.com/botfpodcast, on Instagram at botfpodcast, or you can email me jenna@botfpodcast.com. And we are here today with Bethany Adkins. I'm so excited because there's a really interesting story about this interview. Back in September, I really felt like God was calling me to quit my job as a nurse, which didn't make any sense because I had been there for 9 years working with this oncology group. And 2 years before that, I was a med-surg nurse and I loved my job. There was no reason. I did not want to quit. I didn't understand. And then we're recording this in November of 2020. It's still November. In November of 2020, this was in the middle of a global pandemic. So I was like, God, why do you want me to quit a job that I love in the middle of a global pandemic when I'm a nurse? It just felt like I was betraying my coworkers just to leave in the middle of all of this. And so I kept praying, do you really want me to do this? Why do you want me to do this? And I never really got the why, but it wasn't like the voice of God calling down to me, but it was that this little thought that kept popping in my head every time I prayed. This was two things. First of all, it was obey, and not in a what I usually do with my kids, obey, like obey because I said so. It was not one of those, but just obey me, trust me. And the other thought that kept coming in my head is, I'm going to bless them more if you leave than if you stay. So these little promises that God was telling me, you're on the right path, listen to me, trust me, make this choice. It's going to be better for everybody if you do it, but I'm not going to tell you why. And I still don't know why. At this point, I obeyed and I had one of the hardest conversations of my life, just going into my boss's office and try to explain to her that, you know, things are rough. I have a special needs son and homeschooling and trying to figure out all of that stuff when he's used to going to school and doing therapy and all of that, and all of that changing with COVID. So that was part of it. She's super understanding and super encouraging with this choice, even though I knew it was hard and probably frustrating for her to have another nurse leave. I said, okay, God, I did it and I trust you and I know you have something going on, but I would love it if you would just give me a couple encouragements or signs that I did the right thing, that I really was listening and I did what you want me to. And then I don't know if it's your friend or your manager or what she is necessarily for you, but Ashley sent me an email asking me if I would consider interviewing you for talking about your book that we're going to talk about here in a minute, My Why Journal. And I was like, this sounds really great and really exciting. I want to talk about this more. And she started telling me how you were a pediatric nurse and that you left when it didn't make sense. And I was like, okay, I see what God's doing here. Like, this was a huge answer to prayer of God just reminding me, I'm having you step out in faith. I've got a plan for you and I'm going to connect you with someone who's done the same thing and show you what I can do with this. So I'm really excited about this conversation. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your inspiration for My Why Journal?
Yeah, I love that story. That is so good. Thank you so much for sharing that. And also, thank you so much for having me on today. Like you said, my name is Bethany Adkins. I am a former pediatric nurse. I am now home with my kids. I host a podcast with my husband, and I also manage podcasts for a few other clients. Never in a million years did I see my life being where it is now, but I'm so thankful to be here. And just like you said, it all started with taking that first step of feeling the gentle nudge from God and just kind of going from there.
So can you tell us a little bit about that story of the nudge and how God gave you the strength and resolve to make that choice?
Yeah, definitely. So my story is a little bit different than yours. I became a nurse right out of college. At that time, I had had my son already. He was about a year old when I was a nurse. And I always wanted to be home with my kids, but I at the same time felt the need to go to school, get a degree, and have kind of that career that society says that we should have. So I did that. I went and became a nurse. And I really did. I loved nursing. Just like you said, like I enjoyed it. I loved my patients. I loved the feeling of taking care of people. I really did enjoy it. But at the same time, that feeling of wanting to be home never really left me. It was kind of just like this little fire inside of me that always burned and reminded me that I, while I was at work and I enjoyed work, I also felt pulled to be home too. So it was something I struggled with for, I was a nurse for about 3.5 years. So definitely not as long as you, but I just felt like I needed to be home with my kids. And for us, finances were a big reason that I stayed being a nurse for as long as I did, just because we were buried in student loans. And then another reason was that I just felt that I went to school and I had this degree and I needed to have a career, and I was kind of weighing my worth with what the world was expecting of me and not necessarily what God was expecting of me. And so it was basically this tug of war in my heart for a really long time, just feeling like, I feel like I need to be a nurse, but at the same time, like, I feel like I'm called to be home. So after, just to fast forward, I started as a nurse in Ohio. We moved to California. I did travel nursing for a few assignments there. This whole time, you know, I'm pestering my husband, I really feel like I'm called to be home. I really feel like I need to be home. But we, provision plays in, we needed the money, but gradually we continued to pray about it and God started blessing us. I was able to go from full-time to a part-time job. And then from part-time, I was eventually able to be home. And that is kind of how that happened. I know that was like a very fast version of a span of like 4 years. So if you have any questions, feel free to ask them, but that's kind of the summary of it.
I like being able to see real life examples of those nudges of God. And even when they don't make sense or they don't really fit in with your life, how God still nudges and guides. So how did that feel for you, those nudges?
That's a really good question. For me, the nudges, it felt almost like restlessness to me when I was getting the nudges, but I was ignoring them and continuing to go along my own path. Kind of like you said, like you didn't fully understand. You felt God pulling you one way, but you also, your earthly desire might have been to stay at work. So for me, it was like I was obligated to stay at work, but I felt God calling me to be home and I was trying to please both. But the more I stepped into what I felt God was calling me to do, even working toward the goal of being home, the closer I was getting toward that goal, the more at peace I was feeling. And now fast forward, I'm home and I was making really great money as a nurse. Nurses make amazing money depending on where you work, but especially as a travel nurse, I took a serious pay cut being a stay-at-home mom. We had to make cuts on our cable bill, our overall lifestyle. But at the same time, following what God was calling me to do over what the world was expecting of me brought so much peace. And that restlessness, the more I stepped into what God was nudging me to do, that restlessness started to fade away and that peace really started to take over. So even on the days where the journey wasn't easy, or our finances were tight, or my kids were being crazy, it didn't matter because I felt this peace that I knew that I was right where God was calling me to be.
And I'll second that too with mine. I still don't really know exactly where God's leading me. I have some ideas. But there was one day about 2 weeks after that my husband just looked at me and he's like, this is changing the whole dynamic of our house. There's just so much peace and it's a lot less stressful. And even though I only worked once a week because I was PRN, so it wasn't even like that huge of a time change or whatever. But there was just, following God's plan will give you that peace that you're talking about, even when it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I will say similarly to what you just said, my husband at the time, just because he's so practical with money and everything like that, he's like, this just isn't going to work. This isn't going to work. You have to work. I'm like, we have to make this work. Like, I feel like I would give up anything. Like, I would give up anything to be home with my kids. Well, finally, we did make it work. And now, like, there have been seasons where I'm like, this is really hard. Maybe I should just go back to work. And he's like, absolutely not. I don't know what we would do without you here. Like, the fact that you can cook dinner at night and the fact that we don't have to send our kids to childcare and just the peace that you said that comes with having me home, it's so beneficial to him now. It really is a game changer. Now, not everybody has to have that family dynamic. Everybody's different. Some families have both working parents. Some families, the dad stays home, and that is totally fine. This dynamic works really well for us. Like you said, I believe it's what God is calling for our family.
Exactly. I was actually going to say that too. I know that not all moms can stay home or even want to, and that's okay. I don't blame those moms who don't want to stay home sometimes. But God will tell you exactly what he knows is best for you. And if you obey that, there's going to be that peace and God will get the rest figured out even when it doesn't make sense. So I love that this is the start to this episode. I want to talk a little bit first before we really get into your journal. I want to talk about your podcast, the Millennial Mission Podcast, and how that came about with your husband. It sounds like you guys have a fun dynamic.
We have a lot of fun on the podcast. It's very casual and we try to make it as casual as possible. Like we're just hanging out with our listeners. So that's kind of what we do. But it really started when I've always written, I've always kind of journaled. And in this journey, this transition of me trying to figure out what God was calling me to do, I really started picking the pen back up and writing again. And then I ended up being home. I found more time to write. And then as I was home more, I started realizing kind of the disruptions and like issues that I was, not even issues, but just things that needed to be different in our family. For one, the biggest thing was that I was getting on social media a lot and I was constantly frustrated with the highlight reel on social media and the comparison game. It was exhausting. I would see people that I knew in real life and then see them on social media and be like so turned off by the fact that it was like two different people. And it wasn't even their fault. That's just kind of what social media encourages us to do. It encourages us to have this picture perfect life. Well, then I would look around at my life and I'm like, I'm not the perfect mom. I'm not the perfect wife. My house is messy and I feel like a failure. But I quickly started to realize through my journaling and reflecting that we all are human. We're all imperfect. So why are we not talking about this? Because it's putting this big divide in connections with people. So I started a blog. It was called Adkins Highlight Reel, R-E-A-L. It's kind of a play on words, just talking about the real things. The fact that parenting can be hard, the fact that marriage can be hard. Life is hard, but we can either focus on the hard and dwell and feel bad for ourselves, or we can see what we can do to grow and improve and get better. So that's how the podcast started. And we kind of rebranded over this last year because we realized we were really talking to our generation, which is the millennial generation. And we wanted to still talk about the real parts of life, but we wanted to empower our generation to follow along and rise up and be the people that they were called to be. So on the podcast, we talk about parenting struggles. We talk about the fact that we were $250,000 in debt and we're working on getting out of that. So we share the journey of that. And we are now consumer debt free, but we still have student loans. So we're tackling that in real time on the podcast. And yeah, we're just trying to empower the millennial generation, and not even just that generation, but other generations to rise up, be the people that God calls us to be, and empower other generations to do the same.
Now I really need to listen. Which came first, the podcast or your My Why journal?
The podcast came first. Yeah, we were talking about real life. We were talking to our age group and we quickly realized that a lot of our generation is parents, new parents, some of us not so new, but it's something that we're all trying to kind of navigate as this generation raised by previous generations who were raised a lot differently than us. And we've realized that we are trying to like balance between the way our grandparents raised our parents and the way our parents raised us. And so we started talking a lot about parenting, and that's kind of why the Why Journal came about.
Tell us a little about the journal, the premise, what you hope people get out of it.
So I'm really excited about this journal. And one of the things in parenting that has been so important to me, and I feel like is such an essential thing in parenting, is communication with our kids. And I think that because, and this is just my observation and my inquiry's observation through many conversations about the generations, but because of the way our parents were raised from the generation who kind of grew up in the Great Depression and very strict and hardcore, and they had to be, and there were so many things that they did great and well, but because they were raised with that tough generation, it almost was like the pendulum swung. There were like two types of parents that we had. There were ones that like they swung the pendulum the complete opposite way and let anything go. And that's where we get the like eighth place trophies, just pats on the back for everything. And then there was the other end of the spectrum where they're still super strict and it's do as I say, do not as I do, and very strong figures of authority. And so now, as we become parents, we're trying to navigate, okay, which one is right? Do we let more go? Do we let less go? Are we super strict? Are we super permissive? And something that comes up a lot is conversations with our kids and answering questions for our kids. And I wanted to really make sure that I got this right, because I truly believe that the conversations that we have with our kids, whether they're 2, 4, 6, 8, or 28, really impacts our relationships with them. So the whole premise behind the Why Journal is it's basically a journal that you pass back and forth between you and your kids, and they can write down questions in the journal, and then there's a space below the question for you to handwrite a response, and then following your response, there's a space for you to support your response with scripture. So not only is the here is my answer, but here is why my answer is the way it is. So you're giving them a super strong foundation of rationale behind why your family operates the way it does, why your belief system is what it is. And it really just kind of opens the door to communication with your kids and encourages really great conversations with them.
I love that. And then they have it forever.
Yes, it's a hardback. It's super cute. It sits really pretty on the bookshelf, and it's basically a keepsake. So you guys can keep it on the shelf, and then when they move out of the house and start having their own families, they can take it with them. And it's an adorable keepsake. Since it's handwritten, it has their handwriting from all of the years and all the silly questions they ask, the serious questions they ask, and it's just really awesome.
I am so excited about this. I have one son who is just super inquisitive and curious and loves to ask big questions. And this would be something I would love to have to work through with and be able to give to him when he's older, like a legacy, something that you can show, this is how you asked questions and this is how I answered. And they'll have that always, like even if when you get older, when we pass away, or even if it's earlier, I hope not, but that's something that you would be able to leave and gift them. I think that's beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree. I have a very inquisitive 8-year-old little boy, and he was the inspiration behind this journal.
So does he ask big questions?
Oh my goodness. So many questions. Big, small, multitude, huge numbers of questions. And the thing about questions is I totally believe that the small ones are just as important as the big ones. And that's what makes this topic so hard, because as parents, we're constantly bombarded with to-dos at home and errands that we have to run and things at work and dishes, groceries, dinner. And then we have on top of that, we have our little kids that are asking 1,000 questions a day, and they seem silly, and sometimes they seem easy to just shut down and be like, I don't know, I have no idea why, just don't ask me or go ask your dad. And you know, we're human, that's gonna happen. I'm so guilty of that because I am a type 4 creative and my mind is always racing. And sometimes I don't want to answer the silly questions about the dinosaur. But those little questions are just as important as the big questions, because to them, those things are just as important. And they truly want to know our thoughts on those things. And if we start making them think, oh, we don't care about your question now, what's to say that they're going to think that we care when they're 14 years old and have a more serious question about, you know, puberty or boys, you know, our daughter having a crush on a boy at school. You know what I mean?
So you're building rapport and you're proving that your kids can trust you and that you're taking the time and find their questions important.
Exactly.
So what are some examples of questions you can say, some funny ones or some deep ones, or what kind of conversations have you sparked through these questions?
There's some really funny ones. I actually just, somebody that has our journal messaged me on Instagram the other day, and her daughter, she's like, I was so excited because I've been waiting for my very first question for my Why journal. And we were driving in the car and she said, Mom, I have a question. And she was like, oh, this is finally it. And the daughter asked, was Jesus born sunny side up? So it's like the most random question, but it's so funny and it's a genuine question. Kids ask silly questions like that, but sometimes they ask more serious things. When my son first went to public school, he was in first grade, kindergarten maybe. He came home like after the first week and was just grilling me because somebody told him that the flood wasn't real, that the story of Noah's Ark wasn't real. It was all a myth that never happened. And he was like so perplexed by this. And that is like a pretty serious question for a kindergartner to try and navigate. So there's even questions like that. So some you're going to want to pick apart more and have more scripture to support it with, and even maybe have other sources to support it with. And you can even go deeper and explain that, you know, buddy, not everybody does believe the same things as us. And that's okay. That doesn't mean we can't be friends with them. But here is why we believe what we believe. I'm not going to force you to believe what we believe, but here's the sources. Here's why we believe what we believe. And I'm going to walk you through this and help you navigate this to help you understand why our family believes this. So it's just a really great opportunity to build a really strong foundation. And then there's the silly questions like, why does snot come out of our nose? Or why do cats have four legs and tails? Stuff like that too.
Like, I love all of that stuff. So that was when he was in kindergarten. Now he's 8, right?
Yeah.
Have you seen any long-term, you know, I guess that's only 3 years, but 3 years in a kid's life is huge. So have you seen any long-term results of having this documentation of questions and working through them?
So the practice of the journal, I started journals for my kids as soon as they were born. And it wasn't, obviously they can't write at that age, but I just started writing letters to them. And I always had said, when they became the age where they can write, I'm going to make this a dialogue back and forth between us. But the actual journal is relatively new. The practice of having them write it down is even kind of not in the formal journal is newer for our family. But the practice of being intentional with the way we answer our kids' questions, it has greatly impacted our relationship with our kids. When we take the time to actually let them feel like they're heard and answer whatever it is that's on their tiny little minds, I mean, the relationship is just so much stronger. You have to get on their level. And that is, I don't know, it's just so important at any age. I don't know if I'm answering your question the right way. But yeah, I think that this practice is just like, it's been pivotal in our relationships. And I'm really excited to see it continue to transform, because while my kids are still little now, I even can see little things that my 8-year-old does because he's kind of rebellious in nature. But because we're open to having these conversations and answering these questions with him, he comes to us if he does something wrong. Like, for example, if he accidentally says a bad word, he'll come and talk to us right away. And that's because he knows the door to communication is open and we're willing to listen and put our stuff down and talk to him about whatever is on his mind. And again, we're not perfect at this. There are weeks where my temper is short. I can feel the wedge, you know, get put up, but it's about continuously working toward building that relationship with our kids. And we're never going to be perfect. We don't have to be perfect, but it's just about being intentional about it.
What do you do when there are questions that you don't know the answer to?
So this is really why I have the journal, because there are some questions that we can just answer right away. It's a quick yes or no. It's an easy answer. But there are also some questions where they ask and you're like, I don't even know. I've never even really thought about that. Even like the Noah's Ark one, that's going to take more than just one quick conversation, because that's a pretty serious topic. In that situation where my kid would come to me and ask me a question, even say you know the answer, but you just don't have the time or the brain space to give a good answer right then, we can have the brain space to say, you know what, buddy? That's a great question. I love that you're asking me questions. I don't really have time to give you a good answer right now. And I want to make sure that I do give you a good answer. So why don't you write the question down in your journal and then give me the journal and I'll make sure that I get an answer and we can sit down and talk about it afterward. It's kind of the beneficial tool of the Why Journal.
I think that's so great too, because then you're teaching them to use that skill. Like, if I'm the kind of person, I like to know the answer to stuff. And if I don't know the answer, it's really hard for me to say, I don't know. So then there's the temptation to either lie or make something up or just make a quick reactive response instead of a actual responsive, if that makes any sense with that. But you're showing them that it's okay to not know the answer. You're showing them that you're human and it's okay to fail. You know, even little things like that will give them confidence. And yeah, I just love this whole thing. I'm so excited. I'm going to go buy this.
I honestly think that one of the worst things that we can do for our kids is give them the impression that we're perfect and we're all knowing, because we're not. And the only person, it's God, is the only perfect and all knowing one. And so instead of teaching this tool, just like you said, it's helping them to realize that it's okay to not know the answers. It's okay to not be perfect. And it's teaching them, rather than pointing, because of that support it with scripture section, rather than pointing to ourselves for all the answers, we're not doing that. We're giving them answers, but we're ultimately pointing them back to Christ when we give them that scripture on why our answer the way it is. I truly think that one of the worst things that we can do as parents is make our kids believe that we're perfect and that we know everything, because then they're going to grow up to think that in order for them to be good parents, they have to be perfect and they have to be all-knowing. And then one day they're going to grow up and they're going to realize that they're not perfect and they don't know everything. And they're going to either feel betrayed and that we've lied to them, or feel like they're failures. So it's so important for us to be human to them and help them to see that at an early age.
There's so many thoughts going in my head right now of like, you know, that helps them realize that we're not, you know, some kids idolize their parents, and I mean that in the actual like idol thing, or idolize perfection and stuff like that. So that helps remind them like who the true God is, what is really all-knowing, who's the one that takes care of them. And yes, God uses us as parents and we're an amazing tool and it's a huge gift and it's really hard, but that sets them up so much for adulting in general, asking questions, finding answers, knowing that people aren't going to know everything, but we're teaching them with that scripture section. Where do we go when we don't know the answers? This is where we go. I love this so much.
Thank you. That really means a lot, truly.
So we are going to talk a little bit more about faithfulness in general, because my podcast is called Bridge of the Faithful. It's a two-way street. God built the bridge. He made it for us. We had nothing to do with connecting us to him. He built all that for us. But we have to make the choice to step on that bridge toward God. And you've talked about it a little bit with just following where you knew God was nudging you and going when it didn't make sense, or financially. And it was, I'm sure, difficult relational choice to make with your husband when you both had anxieties over this decision. So we've talked about that a little bit, but are there any other everyday examples that you are showing faithfulness, either showing your kids examples of faithfulness to God, or that other big steps that you've had to make?
Yeah, I mean, I can think of so many. We could talk about this all day, but he really is truly so faithful. And there are absolutely moments in life where life feels clouded and heavy and we don't really see it. But even in those moments, I think it's so important for us to remember that he is still working even in those moments. And we just have to trust him and continue. I feel like a lot of our tendencies are to kind of push away during those times, but in those moments are when we should truly be clinging to him. I would say, honestly, when I left nursing, that was probably one of the biggest leaps, because truly on paper, we both are pretty reasonable with our finances. Neither of us are really overspenders. We're pretty frugal, but we made every cut we could possibly make. We cut cable, we cut anything extra, no extra travel, no eating out. And still on paper, our income didn't add up to our overhead each month, basically to what we were spending in bills and student loans. However, we finally got to a point where it was like, all right, prayed over it. It's time for me to be home. And there were months when it was really, really tight. I mean, not a single penny extra. Every month, God met us there. We continued to be faithful in our tithing, even when it didn't make sense and it felt scary. And I'll give you one example. Last summer, my husband works sales. So like the very first year when we moved, we were in California, we moved back to Ohio. He started his new sales position. It takes a while to like build up your commission. So his salary really wasn't enough to cover our expenses. And one month, I think it was not this past July, but the July before, we were like $1,700 short on our finances. We were like, I don't even know how this is going to work. There's like 2 days left in the month. I don't even understand like what we're going to do. And crazy enough, one of the last days of the month, we got a deposit into our bank account. It was the exact amount of money that we needed to cover our bills. It wasn't anything extra, but it was the exact amount of money that we needed to cover our bills, because our tax return got messed up and they finally like sent us the other portion that we didn't get back in time. God continues to show up. And it's not just money. I mean, in so many ways, I could honestly go on and on. One more thing is our son, Carter, who I talk a lot about. We got pregnant with him before we were both in college. We weren't married yet. We were only dating for about a year. That was a really hard decision. I grew up in a Christian home. It was very hard to tell everybody. Obviously, we chose to keep him. And I just can't even say, while it's scary and it's hard to go through something like that, God's faithfulness through his life, the way he's impacted so many other people's lives. Like, he truly is such a blessing. I honestly can't even imagine like life without him. So there's just so many different things. Sometimes we're going to face storms in life. Sometimes life is going to be hard, but it's never about making the choice that's easiest. It's always about making the choice that is honoring God and his purpose for our lives. And when we do that, he is so faithful.
Thanks for being vulnerable and sharing your story with that, because both of those are hard things to go through or talk about. Obviously, with Carter, that's a beautiful ending to a story and how God can make all things work for good. When things are not the situation that you planned or wanted necessarily, God always redeems them and makes them even better than if things had gone the way we originally planned.
Absolutely.
So I think we're at a good closing spot. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the passage that you would like to end with?
Yeah, one of my favorite passages is in 1 Corinthians from chapter 12, and it's just talking about the body of Christ. And this is so important to me because I talk a lot on our podcast about purpose, because for a really long time, like I said in the beginning of this podcast, I struggled with my purpose because I listened very much so to the opinions of people around me, to what culture was telling me to do, check off the boxes of go to college, get a degree, get a job, kind of living the American dream. And I did that and I conformed rather than listening to what God was calling me to do. And so when I really started studying about purpose, and this just really became one of my favorite passages because it talks about the body of Christ. It talks about how we are all called to be part of the body of Christ, but the body has many parts and all of those parts function very differently. So this is really cool because I always have felt kind of like an outcast, which I'm sure many people can relate to. And I tried so hard to conform, but God does not want us to conform. He made us unique and distinct, and he gave us unique and distinct purposes. And so he calls us to step into those. The ear functions differently than the hand functions differently than the foot. And so we should be thankful that we recognize our differences so that we can function as the part that we are designed to be, to help the body of Christ to function as a whole.
I think that is so relevant right now, with understanding that unity doesn't mean everybody has to be the same, but unity is working together with our different talents and with our different purposes.
Absolutely.
So how would people find you? Where do you hang out on social media, and how could someone connect with you if they wanted to reach out?
So our Instagram is at Bethany and Corey, and I'll make sure that I send you the link to that. And then the other place I would say is our podcast, which is called the Millennial Mission Podcast. You can find that through our Instagram. And then I'll also make sure I send you a link to where they can purchase the My Why Journal.
And I'll have all of those in the show notes with links so people can just go to the bottom and click there and do that. So is there anything else that you want to share before we close out?
I wanted to say thank you again so much for having me. I hope that this resonated with your listeners. And I guess I just will close with saying that if you are listening to this, I want to assure you that this is for a reason, and that you were born with a unique and distinct purpose, and you just need to pray and continue to walk with God. And I promise you that he will show you exactly where you're supposed to be.
1 Corinthians 12:12-23. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty.
This has been episode 59 of the Bridge of the Faithful podcast entitled Raising Kids in a New Generation with Bethany Adkins. For show notes, go to botfpodcast.com/episode/59. You can find us on social media at Facebook or Instagram.